From our study in the Gospels, as we do from time to time, but I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The only constant in life seems to be change. From the time you're born, you change very rapidly. From being incredibly completely dependent and then learning to crawl, moving to solid food, learning to walk. And watching our kids grow up, I thought sometimes they would never walk, and then I wish they would stop running very soon. It's just so rapidly change happens in our lives. We go through elementary school years, we get into high school, and that transition is very difficult for many of us, that change. And then when high school's over, the change into adulthood, had the opportunity to go to my nephew's graduation at Vianne this past Friday. I'm sure most of you were at graduation somewhere, all of us having family, friends, and people graduating. And of course, here in Sequoia County, everybody has their graduation services on the same night. But I listened to some of those young people as they stood and spoke and talked about moving from high school into life, and it kind of tickled me a little bit that's the way they viewed it. Like, high school's not life, and then when you get out of high school, then life begins. And maybe in a lot of ways that's true, but it is a transition. It's definitely a life change, or at least it ought to be. You get out of high school and you move into real life, as it were. Many young people are going to college or beginning their careers, getting a job. Some of them are getting married very early. Some of them are waiting to get married. And all of the changes that happen in life, but that never really stops. You never really get settled. But it's interesting to me that God gives us some things that can help us in those times of change. And I think what we have here in 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to the young pastor, Paul is coming to the end of his life. Things are about to change dramatically for really all of the churches. The Apostle Paul was used by the Lord to start many of those churches. He had spent much time going back and strengthening those churches. He had set up young men like Timothy to help establish the churches and ordain pastors or elders in all of those churches. And the leadership had changed, and now everything was going to change again as Paul would begin to move towards the end of his life, when he would literally give his life for the cause of Christ. And he gives Timothy a charge in 2 Timothy, and we want to get just a little bit of that tonight. And thinking about our graduates and thinking about all of us as change happens in our lives, and really, let's be honest real quick, how many of you don't like change? I see your hands. I'll give you a second to put your hand up, Brother Tom. No. Because we don't. We kind of get settled in, but the reality is things are always changing. And it doesn't matter whether you are single or married, whether you have kids or don't have kids, things are always changing in your life. And we need some things that we can come to when in times of change. And I believe that there's some principles here that'll help our young graduates, that will help all of us wherever we are at in our walk with the Lord. And the reality is, where I am today is not exactly where God wants me to be in Christ. And I need to change. I need to move from where I am to closer to Christ. And so we all need that change. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's words. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of who thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help it to resonate in our hearts and minds tonight. I pray that you would convict us by your Spirit, teach us by your Spirit, and guide us into all truth by your Spirit tonight. Lord, help me to preach exactly as you'd have me to, and I pray that the things that are spoken from your word tonight would equip us to be faithful and encourage us, Lord, tonight to go from this place changed and to seek your face and to be changed. And as we go through times of transition in our life, Lord, just to look to you, to look to godly examples you put in our life, Lord, to avoid the evil influences, and Lord, to just continue to be faithful and to continue in your word. Please bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Education's a wonderful thing. There was a young man who got hired by the personnel department of a huge supermarket chain, and he reported to work at one of the stores, and he met the manager, greeted him with a warm smile, shook his hand, and welcomed him on board, and handed him a broom and said, "Your first task will be to sweep the floor." And the young man looked at the manager and said, "Sir, you don't understand. I'm a college graduate." And the manager looked back at him and said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Here, let me show you how to do it." Education's a valuable thing. It's not everything, and it doesn't really matter where you're at in life. When you come into something new, you're gonna have to earn your stripes. Amen. You have to earn your stripes. That diploma, that degree, that pass test, or whatever it is that you've accomplished, won't mean much to the people you go to work for. You're gonna have to earn your stripes. There's biblical principles you're gonna have to learn. And by the way, any business owner, any employer would be crazy not to want Christians for their employees. Amen. If those Christians are living like they should. Amen. Because Christians ought to be honest. Amen. Christians ought to be hardworking. Amen. Christians ought to do the work that they do at their job, not for their job as men pleasers, in eye service as men pleasers, but doing their job as unto the Lord. Amen. Because whatever we do, we ought to do it heartily, we ought to do it with gusto, we ought to do it with our very best, because we're not really serving men, we're ultimately serving God. And Christians ought to be the best employees that there are on the planet, and it's a sad thing when we're not. Amen. It's a sad thing when somebody who claims to be a Christian is lazy, dishonest, murmurers or complainers, and just disgruntled in general. We need to make sure that we are what God's called us to be wherever the Lord leads us in our lives. In this text tonight, just I want to share with you three things very quickly. Number one, would you notice the example of endurance? In verse 10, Paul said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions," and he goes on and says, "the persecutions I endured." This morning we talked a little bit about patience, that cheerful endurance, and that's something Paul had. Listen, when they beat him and locked him fast in the stocks at midnight, he prayed and sang praises to God. Listen, when he went through all of those persecutions, everything he went through, he did it with a cheerful endurance. He said, "I endured it all." In other words, I stayed faithful. Back in Acts chapter 20, when he met with those pastors or elders from Ephesus, he met with them and he told them, he said, "I want to finish my course with joy." And then he gets to this book, one of the last letters he wrote, and he writes to Timothy and says, "I have finished my course." And he did it with joy. Amen. Circumstances didn't matter. Whatever trials and afflictions he went through, it didn't matter. He said, "You've fully known. You knew my doctrine, the teachings that I gave you, the things that I learned from the Lord and from his word and through his Spirit, I have passed on to you. You knew my doctrine." He said, "You knew my manner of life. You knew the way that I lived." In other words, Paul could say with the confidence that I have walked the walk as well as talked the talk. You knew my manner of life. You knew my doctrine, my manner of life. You knew my purpose, Listen, if here was ever a purpose-driven man, it was the Apostle Paul. He was passionate about living for Christ. He said, I count all things but loss, that I may win Christ, that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know the Lord. His purpose was to glorify God and to know Christ, have Christ exalted in everything that he did. He said, you knew my faith, that in the midst of everything that I went through, I still trusted God. When I had plenty, I trusted God. When I didn't have anything, I trusted God. When I was in the middle of the sea, I trusted God. When I was in prison, I trusted God. When I was in somebody's house, warm and safe and cozy, I trusted God. It didn't matter what he had or didn't have, where he was, wherever condition he was, he trusted the Lord. His long-suffering. I love Bible words that define themselves. Long-suffering means to suffer long. That's what it means. He put up with a lot. He had trials outside of him. He had the troubles within the churches. He had difficulties in his own heart and mind. And through it all, he suffered long. He endured through it all. He had charity, which is another word for godly love. This is that agape godly love, that unconditional sacrificial love. You knew about that. You knew about my patience, how I cheerfully endured. You knew the persecutions and afflictions that I went through. And yet, all through it all, I endured, he said. Why? But the Lord delivered me. Listen, the reason Paul was able to endure everything, the reason we can look to him as an example of endurance, is because God brought him through it all. Because he stayed faithful to the Lord. The Lord saw him through. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, he said. Listen, I worked harder, I labored harder, I served harder, I did more. But it wasn't me, it was Christ working in me and through me. And wherever you go from here in your life, you need to understand that you'll never be able to accomplish anything without God. You've got to have the Lord. You've got to trust in him. So we see this example of endurance. Listen, the world is filled with quitters. And I'll be the first one to admit, you guys know, I'm really good at starting things. I'm not always good at finishing things. There's a lot of things that I've started and not finished. You may not believe this, guys, but there have been many, Brother Daryl, there have been a lot of exercise programs that I've started. Been a lot of diets that I've started. I've actually started businesses. There's projects around the house. I mean, there's a lot of things that you start and don't follow through with. And maybe some of that's okay, maybe some of it's not. But I want to tell you this, if you're going to start running with Jesus, if you're going to start following Christ, you should never, ever quit. He's worth it. Amen. He's worth it. We need to follow the example of endurance. We see the example in Scripture. We look to those heroes of the faith and how they endured. There are other men and women in history that we can look at and see how they endured. There are men and women in our church and in our lives that we can look to. We need to look to those examples of endurance. Next, there is an evil to avoid. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, Paul warns about evil men and seducers primarily coming into the church. False teachers that would come into the church that would start teaching false doctrine. Things like you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. You need to put yourselves back under the law in order to stay saved. And there were those who would bring in those false doctrines that Paul was constantly battling against. And John was battling against. And Peter was battling against. They had to fight against those false doctrines all the time. And so there were the false doctrine you got to guard against in the church. But there's also that false influence, the evil seducers that are outside of the church that we need to guard against. The devil is busy in the world today. Amen. He works through the popular media. He works through social media. Amen. He can work through even your own, what you would call your friends. There are so many voices out there clamoring for your attention, and you need to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. You need to guard your influences. Amen. You need to guard your influences. You need to be careful who your friends are. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Especially some of you guys that are that are graduating and going off to college, some of you that are off in college now, some of you that are coming up through school and be going off soon, you need to understand that you've got this protective barrier around you when you're at home. But when you get outside of that bubble, there's going to be all of these influences. You're going to have to be very careful and guard your influences. Amen. Be careful who your friends are. You need to be careful who influences you that are not your friends but are those mentors in your life. You need to be careful about which professors that you listen to and admire. A lot of young people get to college or get to trade school or whatever it is, and they have some influences there. They have some instructors or professors that have a lot of influence over them. You need to be careful whether those men and women are influencing you to Christ or influencing you away from Christ. They may seem sincere. They may seem smarter than anybody you've ever met before. There are some highly, worldly speaking, some very highly intelligent people outside of our little bubble here. But just because they're intelligent in a worldly sense doesn't mean they have any wisdom of God. And you need to be careful who your influences are. We need to guard our influences. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. And I want you to get this. They are deceiving. In other words, they do the work of deceiving other people, but they themselves are being deceived. When I went to college, I had professors that on one hand, I had some that mocked Christianity openly. They openly attacked anybody that claimed to be a Christian. They mocked you. They ridiculed you. And those people were not so hard for me to deal with so much as the other ones who tried to tell me that there were certain things you could believe that you could put together. This doesn't affect your faith. You can believe this and you can have your faith too. And what they wanted me to do was compromise the scriptures. Now you could just, it doesn't necessarily have to mean what you think it means. You can just kind of twist it around and make it mean what you want it to mean. Those people were dangerous for me. What I'm trying to tell you is that those people not only are deceiving, but they're being deceived. They're buying the lies of Satan. They are deceived themselves. And now I don't have animosity towards those people. I have pity because they've been blinded. I hate the fact that they continue to turn young people away from the Lord, but we need to understand today that there is an evil out there, and we need to avoid that evil. There's some classes, if you go to college or trade school, that you're going to have to take. There are going to be some of those instructors and professors you're going to have to just deal with, but you need to be careful that they don't influence you away from God. You need to stand your ground. You need to stand for your faith. And don't be intimidated. You need to stand for the truth. There's an exhortation also to continue. The example of endurance, there's an evil to avoid, and there's an exhortation to continue. Look at verse 14. Persecution's going to come. All they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is going to come. Evil seducers will wax worse and worse. You're going to have to deal with those things. That's going to happen. Persecution and affliction is going to happen in your life. There are going to be people who are going to try to influence you away from God. That's a reality you're going to have to face. But continue thou. All of those things are a reality, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And what you've learned when you've come to church and you've sat in Sunday school and you've listened to the preaching of the Word of God for your whole life, and you've studied these scriptures on your own, and you've dug into the Word of God, and God has given you assurances and has given you truth, and those things are down in your heart. You need to hold on to those things and continue on in those things, and don't forsake those things. Amen. Continue in those things. You know them, you've been taught them, and you've been assured of them. And somebody said one time, never doubt in the night what God has given you in the light. Never doubt in the night what God has given you in the light. These moments of preaching and teaching, these moments of studying your Bible and praying, these moments when you've cried out to God to help you and He's spoken to your heart and He's comforted you and He's given you those things, hold on to those things. They're precious. And continue in them. This word continue means to abide. It means to stay. Hold on to those things. Don't leave those things. You might leave Muldrow. You might leave Oklahoma. There's no telling where any of you may end up someday. You may leave the United States of America. I have no idea what God's got in store for any of us, but it doesn't matter. You can take the things of God's word and they can go with you wherever you go. Amen. These truths need to stay with you. Continue thou. Continue thou. I'm so heartbroken over people who depart from the faith. Young people come up in church, and you lose about a third of them by the time they get to junior high school. By the time you get to the end of high school, into college, you lose another third of them. Well, where do they go? I don't know. Well, were they ever really saved? I don't know. What is it that made them go away? Well, they didn't continue. It's not complicated. You need to stay in the Word of God. You need to stay in church. You need to stay committed to Christ and keep Him first. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, what's Paul talking about? Who have we learned these things? And you say, well, Paul. Paul's the one that taught them. Paul instructed Timothy. Paul took him under his wing and gave him all those truths, and that's true. And you ought to hold on to those things that you've been taught by your pastor and by your parents and by your teachers in church. But what you've really learned, what you've really got in your heart, it doesn't come from me. Ultimately, if it's down here in your heart, it really didn't come from your parents. It didn't come from your Sunday school teachers. If you really have it, then you've been taught by the Spirit of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us all things. The Spirit is the teacher. I can say it all day long. Your parents can repeat it. Your Sunday school teachers and Wednesday night teachers can repeat it until they're blue in the face, and we'll do that. We'll keep doing that. But ultimately, if it's going to get sink down into your ears, sink down into your heart, the Spirit of God's going to have to do that work. He's the teacher. And so remember who you've learned it from. Yes, godly teachers, but ultimately the Spirit of God. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who grounded him in the truth of the Word of God. And for those of you young people that are here that have been raised up in church, you ought to thank God. Amen. Because not everybody in the room has had that. Not everybody in this room grew up with parents who love Jesus and have taught them the Scriptures from the time they were a child. Not everybody has that. Some of you roll your eyes sometimes at the things I say. Some of you kind of roll your eyes at your parents. Some of you kind of have that attitude about church in general, and you have no idea how blessed you are. Amen. You may get frustrated and annoyed because your parents make you come, but one day you'll thank God. Amen. And there are men and women sitting in this room tonight who would have given anything, and tonight would still give anything to have parents that were saved. Amen. Timothy had an incredible foundation. Amen. And Paul says, you've known it from the time you were a child. Praise God. And let me tell you, those of you who have not grown up with it, it's okay. So God knows. God brought you to where you are. And He can use you. And maybe by the grace of God, if He blesses you with the family someday, you can do things different. Amen. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 17 says the word perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. It means replete. It means complete. It means mature. It means to be what God wants you to be. He wants to bring you to this place of maturity, to completion. He doesn't want you to be a little sapling forever. He wants you to grow up and bear fruit for His glory. How's He going to do that? He's going to do it through the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means every verse in this book is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. God's Word tells you what is right. CNN doesn't tell you what's right. The Supreme Court justices do not tell you what is right. Your professors at college will not tell you what is right. God's Word tells you what is right. Amen. It tells you what's right. Doctrine for reproof. It tells you not only what is right, it tells you what is not right. God's word would tell you what is not right. Listen, so many times we want to justify our sin. We want to justify the things that we do and we don't do. We like to go to our buddies that like to tell us that what we're doing is okay. A lot of young men and women will go to their friends and their buddies, their girlfriends and boyfriends to tell them that what they're doing is okay. Let me tell you something. If you don't know what's right and wrong, your friends don't know what's right and wrong. Amen. But the Word of God does. Amen. God's Word will tell you what's right. It'll tell you what's not right. And then it'll tell you how to get right. It's for correction. Praise God, He doesn't just show us where we're wrong and leave us there. He tells us how to get right. He gives us correction. He says, here's the straight, narrow path. Here's where you're off track. And here's how to get back on track. And then He gives us instruction in righteousness. He tells us how to stay right. Now, everybody in this room tonight that's saved has gone to the right hand or the left hand at one time or another. But nod your head. Gotten off track. But you don't have to stay there. You can get back on track, and by the grace of God, you can stay on track. You can't do it in your own strength. But through the Scriptures and the Spirit that He's given to you, you can stay right. I want to just challenge you tonight, wherever you're at, whatever transition you may be going through, graduating high school, moving on, starting a new career, maybe it's just a summertime, maybe there's some change happening in your family, some change happening in your life. Change is the only constant that we deal with. But through it all, we can go back and we can look at examples of endurance. We can stay faithful. We can be warned of God from those evil influences to avoid those evil influences. And we can look into the Word of God. We can look into those holy Scriptures that are breathed by God, and we can learn and be exhorted to continue in His truth. Tonight, as we get ready for an invitation, will you stand with me, please? I just want to plead with you tonight, if you've never been born again, I want you to understand that God loves you so much. He died for you, even though you're a sinner. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the deepest, most dark thoughts that you've ever had, and yet He loves you so much, He took your sin to the cross. You can be saved tonight if you'll repent and trust in Him. He loves you. And the only way anyone will ever be saved is through faith in Christ alone. Amen. Repent and trust in Him tonight. If you are saved but you've never been baptized, you need to make that decision to be baptized and serve Him in the church. The church was purchased by His own blood. This group is vital. This body of believers that have been brought together to carry out the Great Commission. We need to be a part of that if we're saved. If you've been saved but never been baptized, you need to make that decision. And if you are in the church striving to live for Him, but you've turned from one hand to the other, I want you to know you can get back on track tonight. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. I invite you to come. If you have some other burden you want to just bring and ask God to help you with, you come while we sing.